morning, I should say. Hi, yeah. You know, I was just thinking that coming up the stairs, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. So I think I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to put like an escalator here so I can just come right up. There's no handicap from here, so I think I'm going to have to get a lawsuit on this. So no, just joking. Today I'm going to touch on 4 points in Ephesians, and then I'm going to end with a story. The more I hear predestined and free choice and free will, I've still come to the conclusion that the answer is yes. God, Jesus, is the center of God's plan, period. It was back then, it is today, it is tomorrow. Jesus is the center of God's plan. Always has been, always will be. And I'm going to start in, we do have the board working. Oh, beautiful. I am going to start in inheritance, obtained inheritance. You know, I just went through a thing with my mom and dad, and they left us something when they passed away, and I know my wife's parents did, and other people do. You wish it was like $10 million, but you know, you don't. It's just they leave you nice knickknacks or a nice picture, but they leave you an inheritance. It's what you get from their life. And what I want us to hear by the end of today is Jesus's inheritance never fades away. I can sell those knickknacks, I can spend money, but it never goes away. And even back in that first day, when God made his plan, he was setting up our inheritance, and our inheritance is Jesus. I'm going to read verse 1. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. His will. We need to focus on that word, his will, not ours, not your best friends, not what a book tells you, not what a movie tells you, his will, God's will. That's what we need to focus on. He's talking to us according to the plan of God who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will for us who have been called according to his purpose. We have a purpose. You may be going through some things right now that you're saying, this can't be God's purpose. This can't be God's will. But if you ask him, he has a plan. It's like a book. You ever pick up a book and you can't put it down? And you follow the story and you follow the story and you follow and you're like, I can't put this book down. That's how our life should be. I mean, I can think back to where I've known my wife since fifth grade. She's wanted me to be in her life that whole time, I'm telling you. That day she tied me to the telephone pole until I said I do. I mean, those are vivid memories. But what I'm saying is, when you look back, sit down and look at your life as a book. You can read at fifth grade. Now I can do that as I reflect back. Wow, high school, she lived in Pennsylvania, I lived here. College, we're going back and forth. Marriage, kids, I mean, you go right up until today. I'm reading the book, the plan, that back when God made Jesus, made the plan, my story was there. All you guys' story was there. That's amazing to me. That is amazing, and everyone can read that. So we need to know God's purpose. How do we know God's purpose? We ask him. We ask God, you know, God, what do you want? We pray to him. And I want to open with Psalms, because this shows you that God's plans don't go away. In Psalm 33:11, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. This is our generation now. You younger ones, your generation too. It's coming. This is the generation. It does not go away. Past, present, and future, Jesus. And he has a plan. In his inheritance, Jesus is forever also. I want to share a scripture with you in Romans. See, I have my little book. I don't have those. Where's that computer stand and those Facebooks? Ugh. I'm not into that. I'm sorry. I'm not into technology. I mean, Kate said what was going on today, and I was like, so that happens all the time. You know, my TV shuts off. I mean, I freak out. Call Caleb Jackson. He knows what to do. He's a guy, you panic. The phone, I don't care. I don't care if the phone breaks down. But TV, no, that has to work. Especially this afternoon because it's football. But our inheritance is Jesus. And I want to read what it says in Romans 8:28. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, either height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You guys, there's your inheritance. There's your hope. There is your, we're going to get into guarantee, but there it is. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. And if we're in youth group, I'd say, Mia, what does nothing mean? Nothing. It's that simple. I'm not supposed to say simple. I'm sorry. My wife says, you say simple too much. Okay. God's plan for us. Number two, God's plan for our present and future. When Paul was in Ephesians, I got to go back to Ephesians. I lost it. Now find it. Hang with me. Yeah, if I had that technology stuff, would be skating right now. I'd be. You know what? I'd like to have one of those screens. You see them on these sci-fi movies where they go like this and all this. What? You know what I'm talking about? I don't even know what they're called. I call them screens with all stuff on it. So I think Best Buy is selling them this week for Christmas. I make myself laugh sometimes. I'm sorry. God's plan for our past and future. Paul, when he was writing this, Paul and the Jewish people back then, the Gentiles and the churches, they were the first to see Jesus. They were the first to watch Jesus. They were the first to actually see the things he was doing. That's got to be so cool. I mean, we see it too, but see, that's our point we're going to get to. We can see that same thing today. We can see it any time in our lives. If we allow it, and if we ask for it, and if we search for it, we can see it, but we don't. We have a lot of different reasons. We're going to get into that a little bit too, but we don't. And the plan, first, the hope, Paul's hope, he tells you, is in Christ. Our hope has to be in Jesus. That's our present. That's our future. Our past is based on forgiveness. You have a past. You're forgiven in Jesus. Don't live there anymore. The hope today is Jesus. There is your hope, future, your inheritance, your plans. They're all in Jesus. It's past, present, future. Jesus, exactly what this says behind me. That's where we are today. And Jeremiah was talking to a group of people, and I love this one of my favorite verses. He told them, I know the plan. This is the Lord speaking. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The Lord was speaking, not Jeremiah. He was speaking in the book of Jeremiah. Sorry about that. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So there's your hope and there's your future, all in one verse. You know, I was talking with my wife, and we've been, you know, she brought to my attention, we've been through a lot. You know, we've been married 37 years, raised 3 kids, have 5 grandkids, 2 dogs and 2 turtles. And we've been through a lot. The turtles are driving me crazy. No. Chopper. That's the name of my dog. But you know what? Has it been easy? No. I remember one day somebody was talking, and I was in a group with my friends, and Kathy was with hers, and I heard her say, well, if Pete ever dies, I'm not getting remarried. It's too much work. And all these guys looked at me, waiting for me to explode or get mad, and I went, they said, doesn't that bother you? I said, no, it's true. It is, but it's not an insult. It is a lot of work. It's a choice. It's an absolute choice. And I mean, if I'm in a group and she says when she passed away, I'll never get married, it depends on the bankroll. No, I'm just joking. No, you know I'm joking. She knows I'm joking. So then we get, what? I heard you. I'm pretending I didn't. So then I get to verse 13. I got to go back to Ephesians. See, Jim, you're right. We're going to have to get one of those things you were talking about. I don't even know what it is. Verse 13, and you, us, were also included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was promised to us when Jesus left, back in the gospel in John, there's many scriptures. We're not going to go through them all now. But he said, I'm leaving, but I am sending someone else, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will be here for you, who will be there when you have questions, who will be there when you have problems, who will be there when you're in situations, who will be there not only when things are good, but when things are bad. He will be there. And I like to stop a second right here and say, how often do we use the Holy Spirit today? And when I say use, I look at it as he's our deposit. Everyone has bank accounts or know what a deposit is, correct? You put money in an account, a savings, a checking, whatever it is, it's an account or a save. We'll just say savings now. You deposit money in. Then when you need it for the future or something happens, you withdraw it. This is our banking 101. But know it's amazing? You can withdraw with the Holy Spirit out of that account and it never runs out. Your bank account's going to run out. It's going to go away sooner or later unless you keep replacing it. You can withdraw on the Holy Spirit at any time, any place, all the time, and your account level never changes. And that's what we need to do. How many times we see and I've done this, you see somebody with the signs up, or they're asking for food, or they're asking for help. Know what we've learned to do? They probably drive a Cadillac, they probably own, and maybe they are scamming you. But wouldn't it be better to say, you know what, Lord? And we've done this. You know what, Lord? Should I, you know, talk to me, Holy Spirit? And there's times the Holy Spirit said, give him something. So I do. I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it's when he tells me I do it. You're in a store with people, and you know they're hurting, and, oh, okay, well, God bless you. See you later. Well, ask the Holy Spirit, should I pray with them? Should I take them outside? Should I invite them for coffee? Should I have them come over? See, it's the little things. The Holy Spirit isn't there just when we're doing real good. We say, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you. Oh, man, everything's great. We seem to only want to go to him when the things are bad or we don't want anything to do with it. We just ignore him. He was given to us as the mighty counselor. He was given us, and we're sealed with him. No church wars, no nothing. The Holy Spirit's in you when you accept Jesus Christ. He gives you the Holy Spirit. What you do with the Holy Spirit is up to you. And if you believe what Jesus said, he can fill you with power. He can fill you with gifts. He can do a lot of things. It's up to you. We'd rather argue over it than just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. I want to read, because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read Colossians, and I'm keeping my finger on Ephesians, Jim, so I won't miss it again. 2 Corinthians 1, 27, I wrote. Or 21, yeah, I have a little lip there, it's 21. Thank you. I need you up front. You need to sit closer because we need to start giving me sign languages. When usually I have my wife do that, but you're here, Judy, so you can do it. Oh, that's right. I did ask for that to be put in there. You got to, guys, girls, I come from middle school and high school. I don't have this in there. I have people making noises and burping and throwing stuff, and I don't have people correcting me. They're easy to... Right. So you got to give me a little grace here, okay? And Brian has never heard me speak before. He's probably at... He's with Trail... what's the thing we sponsor here? Trail Life. He's probably sitting in Santa Barbara going, oh, my gosh. I got to get back there. Sorry, I still got 15 minutes. 1 Corinthians, oh my gosh, 1:21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and puts his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, you have the banks tell you we guarantee up to 100, and there's a number they put, 150,000, and they always tell they'll guarantee to a point. Our guarantee is the Holy Spirit, and it's never going to go away, ever. And I use that as my verse in point number 4 also, deposit guarantee. It's the same scripture. I had to reuse it again. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. There's your guarantee. It's there. And I did have one more that I wanted to share with you, but I don't want us to miss. I'm not skirting the issue of predestined and free choice. I'm not. I'm not going down that road because I don't know how to. I'm not going down that road because to me it comes back to yes. There's no, I don't need to get into the what this word means and that word means and this is what this guy says. The bottom line is Jesus is the plan. Amen. So I wanted to read 1 Peter 1:3-5. I'm watching her. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's powers until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. Talk about a guarantee, there it is. It can't fade. It can't perish. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't spoil. Guaranteed by the coming of Jesus. I'm watching the time, but I'm going to be like Brian because he's taught us to stick to that schedule. And I like that. I like getting out when we do, but I'm not rushing, but I wanted to tell a story, and it's a little lengthy. That's why I'm taking the time now. I want you to hang with me during the story. No, I'm not rambling. It's a pretty long story. It'll take about 5 minutes, and then we're going to hear a song. We're going to pray, and then we're going to go have coffee and maybe donuts out there. Okay. But the story, you might have heard it. You might have heard it recently. You might have heard it a long time ago. I haven't shared the story. You might hear it a different way. So, Judy, if it's different than what you heard, please, please don't correct me. You have to understand, we go way. She knows, you know. I only joke with people I know and like, yeah. Are you? I'm not going down that road. But I want to tell this story. And it's in, like I said, bear with me. It's going to take a couple minutes, but hear me out. There's a man, and he had a son, and his wife had passed away early, so he was left to raise his son. This is in another country. And he was into art. He loved art. Sculptures and pictures and everything. He was into it. And his son, growing up, his desire was for his son to get with them and the both of them could do it together. And his son really didn't want to, but out of respect, he loved his father. Out of respect for him, he said, okay, Dad, I'll do it with you. And after a while, it went on. But his son had other plans, and he had other desires in his heart. He had just other things he wanted to do. One day, a notice came out. There was a war that broke out. And the son went to his dad and said, Dad, I need to go. I need to go to war. I need to go. I need to go serve. I want to help. And Dad, please, no. I've already lost, you know, your mom. Please stay with me. We can work something out. I'll make sure that you stay. And so finally the father said, okay, son, if that's your desire, go. And it broke his heart, but he let him go. One day the father's sitting in his gallery, and he got more into art now because his son's gone. He got a notice that, and it said, I'm sorry to inform you that during the war, your son has been killed. He died saving somebody's life. He died a hero. Oh, the old man, the father, devastated him, just again went and got secluded away. Started just, people didn't see him anymore in the town. They didn't, because he was just overwhelmed. And one afternoon he hears a knock on the door. And he goes down and answers it, and there's a young man standing there. And he's got a canvas rolled up, and he's holding it. And the father goes, who are you? And he goes, you don't know me, sir, but I served with your son, and I am the young man that he saved. And I'd like to come in a minute. So the old man, I don't like to say old man, the father. The father lets him in. And they get to talking, and the young man's telling the father, yeah, your son, he had a great heart. He did everything. He bragged about you, father. He loved you. He talked about your art. And he goes, and I wanted to leave you something. So he opens up the canvas, and it's a hand. The young man that he had saved was also an artist. It was a hand picture of the father's son painted on this old canvas. You know, father was overwhelmed, cried, grabbed it. The young man left, and the father took the painting, and he had this huge gallery, and he put it right in the middle. Probably if this was all a gallery, he put it right there. Picture of his son on this old, dirty canvas. Time goes on. The father passes away. News goes out to the whole country, the whole town, the city, the vicinity, whatever you call it. There's going to be an auction today. We're auctioning off this man's collection. It's unheard of. The collection he has is worth millions. That's what he has it in. He has everything. So it's open to everyone to come. All these collectors from all over the United States, all over the country, everywhere. They're coming here because everything they're looking for is in this room. It's open to the townspeople. It's open to anyone who comes. So the place fills up, and the lawyer is the auctioneer also, he stands in the front, and he goes, okay, let's get this started. And he opens up his book, because the first piece of art will be that picture of the father's son. all these art guys are like, come on, I'm looking at Da Vinci, or, you know, I don't know all the names. I'm looking at that statue. They're just blowing it off. And the lawyer's just standing there, and one of the men in the town they lived in, he'd been there forever, knew the father from a kid, knew the son since birth. They don't have a lot of money, but he raised his hand. He said, I'll bid on that. And lawyer said, okay, took the bid. Anyone else? All the art experts are all now getting excited. Good, we get rid of this now. We can move on. Yeah. Come on. Hurry up. Nobody else? Sold to the young man in the back. Lawyer then goes, takes the book, closes it. Said, auction's over. All these guys are looking at him. They're staring. What are you doing? And he said, the father left me his request. The father said, whoever chooses and takes the son gets it all. I don't know where you guys are today. Katie, you can. I don't know where you guys are today. I don't know what situations you're in. I don't know what you're going through. Could be good, bad. Could be a little bit of both. It could be life. What I'm asking you today is choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Your inheritance will last forever in Him. Your plans come from Him. Your future comes from Him. Your present comes from Him. Live in that. Live in that reality and watch your life change.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare.